Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
It's the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Holodeck safeguards are not functioning. Alexander's in trouble.
My God, you've been shot! Computer, end program. Troy to Captain Picard. Troy to security.
There's another character in the program. Hollander's father. And he looks like Commander Data.
Data?
But it is not Data. I cannot explain. I believe he has taken Alexander.
Oh, now isn't that a shame? Poor Sheriff's been injured. What's the matter? Was my paw a little too rough on you?
Hello, and welcome to the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Can I help you with something?
This is the Ancient West.
The Ancient West, indeed, Deanna. All right, so...
Yes.
Okay, hello, and welcome. Hello. Welcome to the It's Got Star Trek podcast. We got a lot of stuff to do tonight.
Let's hope it's enough.
I'm sure it will be. So we will...
Good.
Get right to it. This is episode 338 of the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
All right, cool.
Oh yeah, that's, I forgot. There's no sound effect for.
That's
when
cool.
I said
I'm really glad that you told me that.
All right,
and told Jesse that, and told yourself that.
I'm a little confused.
And told anyone else here that.
Oh yeah, no, we do have. Are you talking about our special guest?
I don't know what I'm talking about.
We do have a special guest. We're gonna announce them in a second, but I thought we got to say the number of the podcast and then also the title.
Yeah.
The title of the podcast.
Now you're cooking with gas.
All right, so I'll get to the title, then we will. We'll introduce our guest, but we have a voicemail actually first before we introduce our guest.
And before anything starts,
somebody's got to push some buttons.
Our guest is enjoying the break room, the green room, as they say in the business.
Yeah, sandwiches.
Yeah, there's sandwiches, all sorts of stuff in the green room. That this special guest.
Fruit.
Do they have those little cucumber and cream cheese sandwiches?
I hope not.
You don't like those? You prefer them when they're in the wraps instead of the white bread? You like them in the wraps?
I don't like wraps. No.
So you like the little white bread squares with the cucumbers and cream cheese?
I don't like that either.
You like it in the wraps then instead?
No.
All right. Well, you got to like one of the two.
I don't like either one.
That's not an option.
Oh, shit.
We did tell our very famous, very special guest that we would get right to them.
Okay. Sorry. I'm just trying to understand Jesse.
No, I understand. I also...
You're going to have to keep trying.
We haven't announced what we're doing yet.
Well, we're getting there. I'm right there.
Okay, I'll leave it to you.
All right. So, all right. It's episode 338. It's Got Star Trek podcast. That's out of the way. This week...
Thank you.
By special request of our very special guest, we are covering the Star Trek The Next Generation episode, A Fistful of Datas.
Okay, boys. Saddle up.
This is the Ancient West.
Perhaps one of the silliest episodes of Star Trek.
I think we might know where one of Dan's favorite sound clips from this episode is already.
That is impossible.
Okay. Okay. So, yes, we have a wonderful special guest. But first, let's play a voicemail. We'll get a voicemail from our old pal, Grayson.
These are our messages.
Because of the audio setup tonight, because we have a guest, Dan is going to be the one to play the voicemails and whatnots this week.
Well, I don't get it.
So, Dan, could you go ahead and play that voicemail from Grayson?
Okay, let's do it.
Hey guys, it's Grayson from the Prime Detective Podcast. I heard you guys have a guest this week, and I am genuinely excited to find out who it could be. I mean, my first thought was maybe it's one of the guys from Open Pike Night. We haven't heard from them on your show in a bit, and they're always fun. And then I thought maybe it's Jesse from Crusher Convo. She's been on before, always great, but this isn't a very Bev heavy episode, but it is a Data episode. So maybe Sincera from Battlestage Theatrica. He's got such a great voice and he talks about Cylons all the time. So he's definitely probably got some Android takes ready to go for a fistful of Datas. There's Jack Dorino from Let's Talk About Trex, but he was just on, so probably not him. And then I thought, what if it's actually Brent fucking Spiner?
Oh,
how
damn
awesome would that be? Or Dorn? Did you guys get Dorn? I mean, this is a great Worf episode. He's super funny in this one. Honestly, actually, you know what? I need to calm down because, look, as long as it's not Isaac from Tasmania, I mean, that dude is so overexposed. I mean, he literally had a Star Trek podcast episode on every single day for all of 2025. 365 Star Trek podcast episodes. Trek 365. It's enough already. Let somebody else have a turn, mate. Jeez. And Dan, he's absolutely stealing your bits. Holograms? Where would I stay? And now the whole Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles crude versus rude deal? Come on. He says it's an homage, but look, I think we're really looking at full-scale intellectual property crime. Dan, you should lawyer up. Okay, anyway, I'm super excited to find out who it is. I popped some corn, and I'm ready for the show.
Thanks, Agamus.
Some fighting words. Fighting words.
You know, you had some very good guesses there.
Well, he went down like all of our guests.
Yeah.
That we've had. And, and some other people too.
Yeah. Well, as it happens, we are now ready to reveal our very special guest. You know, they.
Hey, maybe some people were on the right track.
They have pale skin, gold eyes. They come from Texas. Well, the Texas of Australia, sorry.
Well,
welcome, Isaac!
Hey!
Texas.
Hello, guys. So I was listening last week and heard you were going to have a special guest that may or may not be Brent Spiner, and I decided to turn up to see who the special guest was.
We're so delighted to have you join us, Isaac, all the way from the opposite side of this little planet that we call Earth.
Oith.
Oh, I thought Dan was going to play a sound effect there.
Oh, well, I was trying to think. I was just realizing that I should have like had some kind of like sound effect queued up.
Yeah.
How about?
Should have would. That's good.
Okay.
Tasteful. Oh,
you've just looped. You've looped over
apparently
a very short applause. Where's that from? Is that from Starfleet Academy? Where's that from?
It's from a good game.
From
a golf game.
Dan doesn't even know where that's from.
It just says Chakotay.
That doesn't sound like Chakotay.
Nobody applauds for a Chakotay.
For real, dude.
That's crazy. All right. So,
you'll just splice that in for after when you say Isaac is here.
I'll just all the splicing.
Will do.
Anyway,
it's perfect,
so
isn't it?
Yeah, so we are as always delighted to have Isaac joining us, and I'll let Isaac talk about why he selected this show. You know, A Fistful of Datas. This is not the first time I've heard you mention this episode. I was delighted that you picked it. It'd been a long time since I've seen it, and watching it, I was reminded of many, many, many things. So, Isaac, what's this show to you? What's this episode?
Are you all right?
Well, I was actually listening to when I was on your podcast a couple of years ago. We did The Royale. And
The Royale, right?
Comment that the episode wasn't as dumb as A Fistful of Datas. And I'm like, I think it might be, actually. So I thought it was a while. It's been a while since I've seen it, too. Wouldn't it be fun to watch this as a bit of an homage to The Royale as well? Because the episode is terrible. I said in that one that that's my third least favorite episode of Next Gen. We'll find out through this where it might stack up against a Fistful of Daters.
Yeah, I recall that you you were last on with Royale, and we differed a little bit in the opinion because Royale's stupid, but I kind of enjoy
well,
it.
Well, see, the thing is, whenever I think of this episode, I always in my brain, I know it's not this, but I always for some reason have it set in my brain that it's like an early season episode.
Yeah. I was looking for it in an earlier season. I was like, where is the episode?
Yeah, right. I always think it's like a season one or two, and I think it's because I keep associating it with the Royale.
I thought it was two.
And it's like, it's an Alexander, it's got Alexander, so obviously it isn't. They're always like pairing like Troy and Worf and Alexander together.
So I have the opposite vibe to you because, I mean, I get where you guys are coming from, but for me, this is the one that feels like the late series episode where it's kind of like, it's not so much running out of ideas, but it's where they're kind of, Brent Spiner probably put in his contract for season six, I want to play 20 characters over the season.
Yeah, well, it seems like they're having fun and they can get away with it because, you know, it's the sixth season.
The only reason I would think it's a later season one is because some of those episodes were pretty weak. Like, which season was the Spider Barkley in?
Seven, I think.
That was seven.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, six is pretty good, but
six is like the There for Life.
I mean, every season's got clinkers and clunkers here and there and all that. The Royale, I understand why people don't like it, but for me, there was a charm and it's got a different vibe because
it has a mysterious vibe.
The weird things about the Royale are weird because it's early in the series and they don't 100% know what the characters are like and what to do and how to make a show and all that stuff. Whereas this, they have all the fucking bells and whistles, right? Everything. This is a director's playground, an actor's playground. Everyone wants to do westerns and have fun with the western thing. And so, you know, that's why it feels a little bit more lazy.
It's like a spoof of Star Trek.
A little bit.
Almost.
Season one or two, Momo, and that's because the story, not because of the acting or the characters.
Yeah, it is. The story is simplistic.
Oh yeah.
It is fun though. It does really seem to me, and I don't mean this in a pejorative fashion. It does seem like they were like, hey, let's give Brent like a bunch of crazy stuff to do while we also move along this sort of ill thought out. Let's make Troy a thing. Troy Worf. Love interest,
right?
They kind of went in that direction for a bit. It was sort of odd.
It kind of reminded me a little bit of Elementary, My Dear Data, because you had Worf was playing the role of Data, where they and Alexander was playing the role of Geordi, because Alexander wanted to take Worf into the holodeck program, just like Geordi Geordi wanted to take. No, Data actually wanted to take Geordi.
Well, they wanted to go together.
Anyway,
point being,
Data like solved it too quickly, and Geordi got all pissed off. Yeah. It's like it's no fun when you solve it. Like, and the same thing happened with
Geordi got super pissed. Yeah.
Right, because Worf just clocked that dude.
Alexander handled this much better than fucking Geordi.
No.
As a child, Alexander's response was much more sensible because Geordi got unreasonably angry at his best friend instead of explaining what was up. Whereas Worf's son, Alexander, he's annoyed, but he's like, no, don't you understand? The whole point is it's like a game. It's meant to be fun.
It seems like Geordi, for someone who's like really into machines and electronics and stuff, he's often getting irritated at Data for things he should know better about. Yeah. You know, it's like, you made this mistake because he's Data, not, you know, he's expecting Data to, there was the part where he was putting the thing in his head. I like the head, by the way, the head panel, he was like pressing on it. You could tell it was like taped to the hair because it was like going into his head as he was doing it.
This was extra hair panel-y too. You've seen this on Data a few times, but this was like, hey, you've seen the side head panel. Get a load of this.
This back panel.
Back panel. I don't know. It's, you know. Whatever.
I feel that was unintentionally the piece of science fiction that's showing the bits of the future. Because back in the 90s, when this episode was made, we didn't have USB connecting from an Android to a big computer.
That's a good point. It's all big and clunky.
I felt the Data taking control was a bit like when you hit accept all cookies without reading what the cookies are.
So I don't know what you'd describe A plot, B plot, because they're so interconnected and related.
It's all a bunch of nonsense.
But like, it is kind of funny when I'm watching this, even watching it now, I just took it for granted. It was like, oh yeah, this is, you know, Data and Geordi have this project. They're going to try it out. Well, but when you think about it, you're like, did this only happen because Picard was so fucking like stressed out and he just needed a break that he was just like, yeah, fuck you, do whatever you want. Like, would a more sensible Picard have been like, wait a second, you want to take the fucking engineering computer offline and just hook Data up?
So, but this is what, okay, first of all, it was inconsistent because Data and Geordi came in and they basically wanted to do some work and Picard was like, no problem. When Worf came in and wanted to do some work, Picard's like, oh, Worf, you work too hard. But
I hadn't even thought of that.
Yeah. Right. Well, everybody, it was like there was a line of people outside his office.
And so I guess they're having fun or whatever. But then when they do this thing, what they were doing, at first I thought they were just going to use Data's brain as backup storage, but they were actually going to use it as a controller of like, so like Data would be controlling the Enterprise.
If the computer goes offline, what can Data handle?
They can just say like, Data, fire phasers or whatever. But, And then after all this shit goes wrong, like what happened? The replicator started serving cat food. The Beverly's play got overwritten with Data's poetry. Picard's thing. The one thing they had to explain
it turned into like Dvorak.
Yeah, they had to explain that. What was the other thing? One more thing that got datafied.
Was it gravity?
The gravity. He did play with the gravity systems, but nothing happened with the gravity.
Data himself started like becoming cowboys.
I guess it was the plot of the episode. But after all this happens, after everything gets all fucked up, like they don't even get in any trouble or anything. They don't have to accept any liability for anything. Picard's just like, oh, you got a solution? Okay, good. Like he's not like, what the fuck are you guys doing? Right. You know?
Well, it's like everybody's supposed to be taking some time off because there's free time, but like none of these guys
they're just working.
They don't know how to take time off, and it's right. Like Worf's like, I'm gonna run some tests and blah blah blah. It's like and like Geordi and Data come in like we're gonna hook Geordi up. We're gonna Data up to this shit. And like Picard's like trying to play this like his fucking like, you know, flute from that other episode.
He left his tag on the flute.
And he's trying to play Mozart on this weird little tin whistle.
Well, I was looking at it's Chakotea called it a Resican flute.
Yes. Yeah,
it's an inner light.
Yes, I get the idea, Miss LaForge. Thank you. Please proceed.
Inner light whistle. Sorry. And like, it's just hilarious. Like, people keep knocking on his door, and it's like, there's like a line of people out in the hallway.
Horny Beverly shows up.
Yeah, she's like, you gotta be in this play. And he's like, oh no, man.
When later on, Beverly looked all stressed out when it came, she had her head in her hands and she was shaking her head. Mm-hmm. I couldn't tell if that was because like just general woes of a director or if she was upset because Picard didn't show up to rehearsal. She was like, rehearsals today, and he never showed up. You know,
this is where having Jesse from Crusher Convo would be helpful because she could explain or clarify to us like how horny, and I don't mean that in a I'm not trying to diminish.
Oh, yes.
I mean this in a professional, talking about ongoing story arc.
I don't get it.
I mean this as properly as possible, but like how horny was Dr. Crusher?
You're very funny man, Senor Eli. All right,
we're going to get to that dude in a second. But I'm just, Isaac, what's your thoughts? I don't want to rope you. I don't want to get you in trouble with anybody, but my impression, and tell me if I'm wrong, Isaac, my impression was that Beverly, she strode into Picard's office seemingly about this play, but the body language, the everything to me was like, no, she's like, I want to hang out with you. Don't you get the point?
It was more about the after party than the play itself.
Right. Yeah.
Well, Picard was trying to drop hints that he didn't want any part of it. He's like, oh, I'd be no good. No.
She was trying to drop hints like, dude, you don't gotta do nothing.
It's two lines.
The point is that we can, you know, because like in theater, you know, emotions run high. People get a little.
Oh, yeah. Theater people are always fucking.
But yeah.
Patrick Stewart loves delivering lines about how bad an actor he is.
Yeah. I love that. I love that. Like, he's like, I'm not much of an actor. And then the camera sort of like pauses on him. Although it was funny that when Beverly was like, oh, don't worry. It's only like two lines. It's not a big part. Picard looked like, you look like disappointed. Like, wait, you didn't like
this episode?
Yeah, and Beverly's like, it's the classic like high school. The girl likes the guy, and the girl is all like, "Hey, we could like hang out at my folks after work." And he's like, "Well, your folks aren't home." He's like, "Yeah. I mean, you know, we could go for a walk in the woods." It's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like unchaperoned. It's like, you damn fool! Why aren't you getting
and like
getting? We got him, jefe.
Like, the play itself, though, does show the Star Trek trope that only the Seven can do anything on the board.
That's right, because it's Riker, Picard. Was there anybody else? Was it just Riker reading lines with her?
There was another person, but I don't know who that person was.
But Riker shows the contrast where, like, Riker's all about, like, being in the plays, and like, and he just started reading, like, this was, I think this was the first reading where they got together, and he was reading those lines,
he did some arm flourish when he, like, started. He did, Patrick, explain what I'm doing to the audience, Patrick. Patrick likes to explain what I'm doing to the audience.
Let's let
Isaac. Isaac, why don't you? I'm not good at explaining what Dan's motions. They're often so violent and aggressive.
Felis Catus.
I would say that Dan
is your taxonomic nomenclature an endothermic quadruped, carnivorous by nature?
Hold it,
Dan played a sound effect. Can you start again there, Isaac?
Dan's right arm is soaring.
Like an eagle.
Well, I need to be able to see everyone can see
it. We should clarify that Dan appears to be taking pains to avoid doing a Nazi salute.
No.
Because he's got his hands sort of...
Even, who said that?
Isaac is like, well, he's thrusting his right arm firmly into the air. It's not straight, and his hand is not flat. Hand has been kind of cupped, and he's sort of like arcing his arm up in like a very bizarre fashion. That's why I assumed you were trying not to do the Nazi thing.
Shut up, you big galoot.
I was still talking about Data and Geordi, which is, we were talking earlier about how Geordi's always slightly taken aback whenever Data doesn't understand some human kind of thing. And so in that scene, Geordi goes, I must admit, Data, I never get used to seeing you like this. And Data goes, I do not understand. You are constantly working on similar electronic systems, yet their appearances do not disturb you. Didn't it look like Geordi was like a little like, what?
Yeah. And
like, what?
It's like, they don't have hair.
It's like, what?
Yeah,
what?
Exactly.
He was like, what? Well,
they don't have a golden penis.
Like, he was like surprised that Data would say, that Data wouldn't understand that he's like a different thing. But then he says, you're not just another, he says, you're not just another electronic system.
Yeah. You're
trying to say that Data's special, but Data's response actually pointed out that Geordi was actually kind of fucked up when he said that, because Data says, thank you, nor are you just another biological organism. Kind of like saying, like, oh, so you think like all electronic systems are inferior except for me?
That shows Data has feelings.
Because Data's basically saying, like, oh yeah, normally I think biological organisms are shit. You're one of the good ones. You
pile
know?
Of fat and sinew.
So Geordi's a beast. Dave's pointing out that Geordi is a machinist or an electronicist or whatever you call it.
I know what you're trying to say, Dan, but unfortunately, the term machinist is already taken.
Because of Geordi's beard.
Because of Geordi's beard?
That floozy!
Geordi's beard has made him more alpha and aggressive.
His half beard. They don't address it directly in this episode, but my impression went, because Geordi asks Data, you know, Geordi's like, something's wrong with your fucking face. And are you trying to grow a beard again? Geordi's like, yeah, what do you think? And the thing is, like, I don't know if you all recall, it was an episode we didn't... Oh, no, actually, I think it was just an episode I was just watching for fun, not for professional podcast reasons. I was watching some TNG episode. There's an episode, early episode, where Data grows a beard, like a silly beard. And everyone fucking makes fun of him for it. Geordi and Deanna are like straight up laughing in his face about it.
Oh, my goodness.
And I think when Geordi asked him about the beard this time, I think the hardcore fans are like, Data's response is like, fuck you, man. You laughed at mine when I tried to fucking do a beard. You trying to fucking grow a beard.
I find it difficult to predict how long facial hair is going to... He was somehow in Data language trying to say Geordi can't grow a beard, I think.
It was a bless your heart moment.
Yeah, it was a bless your heart moment.
From Data.
Did you catch that he made, speaking of Data, this is kind of a side quest, he had a feline supplement 147, meaning he made 146 others of these things.
Mm-hmm. He's all about
that. He can't figure out what Spot will eat.
I think that making Data a cat dad was a brilliant move by whichever, I can't recall.
He's right.
When Spot first appears or is first referenced, but this repeated going back to... kind of the joke of where cats kind of own their owners sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And doing that with Data is hilarious because it's to the extreme. And they do it again here where he's acting as if he owns the cat, but like clearly he, you know.
But that one scene is just ridiculous where the cat keeps jumping in his lap and it's like, what the fuck am I watching?
You're disrupting my ability to work. Episode.
Like this is like another where it's like, they're almost like just doing a spoof of themselves.
I want to know how they train that cat to jump up back up so quickly.
Yeah, I know, right?
Like, how do you train cats to, but it's funny that Data's like saying things like,
you are disrupting my ability to work.
And like,
perhaps hunger will compel you to try it again.
That's like a threat.
Just like Geordi should know that Data is not going to understand human things as well, Data should understand that cats don't understand him. Right. But I know that's the joke. I get that's the joke. Yeah. That's the whole joke. I know. I don't want to ruin the joke.
By the way, a little behind the scenes, because Dan, you were asking, because I was curious too. You were asking how they got the cat to do that. The trick, as it turns out.
Did you shove something up its butt?
No. I thought maybe like a Mr. Ed type thing. Yeah. Like where they, no, no. They have
peanut butter on
it. No, they had like 45 different cats.
Oh.
And each cat was trained to do one thing.
Okay.
And so they just had to keep bringing in cats. It's cat after cat after cat.
So they literally had to herd cats at one point.
No, I mean, the cats were like in cages, but you know how like in like an old movie where people do like a fire line, like a bucket line where you get line up all the people and they're just like carrying the buckets along? They had like all the crew.
A line of cats.
Which is like all these cat carriers are just being like carted through. Wow. And then like, you know, that's how they, you know, hey, Hollywood magic. What do you know?
Is that so?
That's how they made it work.
Is that so?
It also doesn't have at the end, no animals were harmed in the filming of this episode.
Oh, yeah. So they got one, through one cat and just
grind them up.
Just grind them up to help feed the other cats.
Yeah. That's how you get mad cat disease.
On the surface, this could be Worf's redemption as a good dad. You could submit this as evidence of him being a good dad. However, I'd like to also pose, Worf tries to avoid going, and at the end, he says, we'll do it again, which we never do.
We never see it again.
Which is worse.
Right.
Have a boy hanging out with kid or promising that we'll do it again.
With the added thing that you have that little thing that's, you know, it's cute where Worf puts on the hat and looks in the mirror. And then as you note, Isaac, when you know that this is never referenced again, you're like, Worf is like cool with the hat. He likes this. He had fun. He went back.
Right. We're in lawn.
He went back. He just went back without Alexander. Right. If you ask me, I think Worf was spending lots of time in that Western thing, but he wasn't telling. He wasn't telling.
Because typically he just goes to fight monsters in the holodeck for training. It's like not for fun. It's just for whooping ass.
Well, and a real, real, very brief note to reference something that you all mentioned earlier, that Picard was cool with Geordi and Data doing their quote unquote work. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess it was like a little side hobby, but it was still like work.
Right.
And I was thinking, I was like, oh yeah, maybe Captain Picard, you could say, okay, well, he was like, Worf, you don't need to like do these, go have fun. Not sort of understanding. It's like Chief O'Brien or Scotty.
Exactly.
Like for them,
Chief O'Brien.
Like fun is fixing something. Like Worf doing the scheduling or the training
He's
or whatever.
Ops,
That's like that is the same. That's the equivalent of what Geordi and Data were doing in terms of like this is a fun little side project that's not pressing, but like as something I wanted to do.
Yeah, but
but
it's still something that involved like the ship was posed much more risk to the ship than anything Worf was doing.
Well, yeah, no, that's right. True. I'm just saying it's kind of funny that because I didn't even think about your point because I didn't make that connection. But you're right that everyone else is like, oh, we're having, you know, whatever, we're going to do this stuff. And then he's like, no, Worf, you've got to go play.
So did Worf not? Did he want to work because A, he didn't want to go to the holodeck, or B, because he hates his son?
Good question. Both. I think
B. B, yeah.
definitely B.
More B.
It was a bit like an episode where you try to make excuses not to hang out with Luoxana.
Yeah.
He was like, I can do this, John Luke. And he's like, no, I don't need that. Yeah. Okay, how about I do this instead? No,
he's
don't
a
need
bad,
that.
Yeah. Well, bad dad.
Yeah, and then like Alexander's all like, what are you saying? He's like, he said it was fine.
Yeah, right. He all like slumps into the chair and all like, oh.
You know, and some of this is, I guess it's a sign of the times or something. This is, look, people have made fun of like the Worf bad dad thing forever. And it is, we will continue to discuss it. It's worth discussing. And I don't know, because, you know, I was watching this. I was pretty young when I was watching this. But as you get older, I'm a father. You're like,
I am too.
You're like, it used to be like, oh man, Worf is like, he's just uncomfortable and he didn't know he had a son. And it just is kind of like, you know, whatever. Nowadays, I'm like, man, what a piece of fucking shit. Like, you don't gotta be like the best dad in the world, but come on.
Let's go to the holodeck, you asshole.
Yeah, right. He's on the same fucking ship
just
as
spend
you.
A couple hours with your kid. It's like a couple hours.
Fucking big deal. He looks up to you. Yeah. Jesus fucking Christ. Anyway.
He can't be trusted.
Okay, no, I'm going to run some tests.
The writing could have been instead, I don't want to do these training schedules today, Captain. I would like to hang out with my son instead.
Yeah.
Just as much dialogue, set up the episode.
Very well stated. I didn't even consider that, but you're 100% correct, Isaac. The plot would be almost identical. They were making a point to say Worf is a piece of shit. Like that, we have to understand that the intended plot of this episode is Worf sucks.
He's my number one dad.
All right, we've got to take a break. And when we get back, I forgot to ask Dan if he's got any bits. I forgot to ask Isaac. Who knows?
Dan's got bits.
Isaac might have some bits. So we'll sort that out when we get back from the break, which will be momentarily as soon as I say the words. We'll be right back.
I wouldn't walk out that door if I was you, Sheriff. You will come with me.
Is that a cum joke?
No.
Bukkake.
I don't know, cum joke since we did that Enterprise episode.
Dan doesn't do cum jokes.
I don't.
Dan takes
That's a Patrick thing.
I do poop jokes.
Dan takes
cum. Poo and pee pee.
Dan takes cum very seriously.
I take cum. I take cum.
It's not
period.
A joke.
Dan takes cum, period.
And we're back.
Howdy, Sheriff.
Howdy, Commander.
Again.
Computer, stop playback.
Yeah, and change the clarinet to an oboe.
Oh, yeah.
An interesting choice.
Yeah.
This does...
It sort of blends better.
Change the clarinet to an oboe.
This does bring up... I don't have to have a lengthy conversation here, but I would... And in fact, we can guarantee we won't have a lengthy conversation on this topic I'm about to introduce because Dan will make sure of it. However, in the day and age we live in now, much removed from this time period in the early 1990s, we're dealing with all this AI stuff. And
I am a robot, but I talk like people. I am an AI machine.
People say that I am a robot.
That would be better. I think the issue people have is that the AI machines don't sound like that.
I am not a person, but I talk like one.
But when you look online on in the Star Trek fandom specifically, to keep it kind of in the Star Trek context, this debate about the emergence of this new technology, it is very interesting to see the wrestling between the desire that many people have had for some people, for most, if not all of their lives, for something like a holodeck or something like Picard is doing here, where he's talking to the computer, he wants to practice his thing. He's just asking the computer to, you know, change some instruments around, add some stuff, whatever. Right. And you watch it and it's like, wow, this is great. But then, of course, there's the flip side of it is like, okay, well, if the AI can is kind of starting to be able to do that stuff, but at what cost, at where is it getting the information it is to do that? How is it
where would I stay?
Affecting creativity? Again,
I don't get it.
We don't have time for or the inclination. We're not the right podcast necessarily to have a deep conversation about this topic. But I did think it was worth bringing up because it did come to mind when Picard is sitting there, and I was like, wow, this is the first time I was kind of thinking of it in slightly different terms as opposed to just taking it for granted that that's what's cool about Star Trek is you can just, you know, have the computer do all sorts of crazy stuff.
I used to think it was ridiculous that you could just talk to a computer and it would just know what you were saying. Yeah. And that's
computer.
Yeah, I was like, that's crazy.
Although it still is funny because it's like it gets it wrong half the time. And not even talking about the AI, I'm just talking about like the, you know, the Google Home or the series or whatever.
Oh, now isn't that a shame?
That would be a good
like when you try to record something and like broadcast it upstairs to tell your kids to like be quiet. And, like,
yeah, I do like that feature.
Sometimes it doesn't work though, and it's all
absolutely. It is highly unstable.
It is highly unstable. Now we'll probably get there one day, but again, at what cost?
What's
all right, so I'm going to ask
nothing at all, Mr. Hollander.
Before we continue, I just want to ask both Dan and Isaac. We'll start with Isaac. Isaac, did you have any? I know we didn't ask you to bring along any goofs or gags or anything like that. But I forgot to ask before we recorded. Do you have any goofs or gags that you wanted to bring up?
Potentially got a little game that I reckon would be up Jesse's alley.
Okay.
All right. Ooh.
All right. That's something,
nice.
Something to look forward to. And how about you, Dan? We like to call him Dan's Bits, which is a play on your last name.
Yep, it sure is, yeah. Patrick. Thanks for pointing that out.
In case people didn't understand that.
I have...
Dan's your last name?
Yeah.
Actually, Dan is my middle name.
Dan is his middle name.
Daniel.
Yeah, that's a little bit of...
Dan trivia. Dan lore.
Podcasting lore. Dan goes by his middle name.
Yeah, my real name is John.
Whereas Jesse and I... We go by
our first name.
First names. What's your middle name, Jesse? Or is it, are you
Joseph?
Oh, that's right. I wasn't sure if you were one of the people who refuses to. You know, sometimes people refuse to say what they're.
No, their I think it's weird is. That my name is Joseph.
Yeah. Well, my middle name.
It was my great grandfather's. Oh, this name.
Is my middle name is Christopher.
Yeah. Such an interesting conversation. Yeah.
It really is, yeah. Isn't it? We're white people. Yeah. Joseph and Christopher.
Patty Christopher Ireland. That's my name.
So,
I mean, it is Patty Christopher Ireland. Well, Patrick. Anyway, sorry, Dan. The floor is yours.
Ask me a question. I figured I'd have a chance to answer the question.
Wow, okay.
Fine. Yeah.
What were you thinking?
I don't know.
This is episode 338.
I don't know what I was thinking.
Of the It's Got Star Trek
so much content.
Dan's Bits.
Lists. I don't have any for real serious though lists. I have I have 2 3-point lists and a 2-point list. So are those lists? I don't know.
A 2-point list. You know,
they're little lists. It's one you can put them together.
I'd have to consult. The 3 points definitely is. I'm happy to say that's a list.
You got a duty or no duty?
And it's got list in the title. It's a list.
What?
You said it's a 2-point list, so it's a list.
Yeah, oh, yeah. That's what I argued that. But then,
I'm fine. I'm fine accepting that. I'm just saying I'm comfortable 100% defending the 3-point thing as a list. I would if you're holding my feet to the fire, Dan.
This human is full of words.
2-point list. I'm down with that too. I'm totally down with that.
In the past, Patrick has given me shit about 2-point lists. You're like, oh, I don't know if that's a list.
It's outside of my ken. It's outside of my ken.
There's duty or no duties, and I'm going to bring back an oldie, not necessarily goodie.
Moldy.
Dampener versus damper.
Yes.
A common thing on TNG, you know, in particular. Yeah. I know all the shows have it, but. Jesse, what were we going to say?
Well, I mean, I was going to elaborate on that, but I'll save it for the discussion.
Well, do we want to do dampener versus damper?
Because I was watching with captions, and it said damper. Well, there was not dampener.
Well, then I wiped play the sound.
Okay.
Oh, fuck.
You've ruined the game. I don't think he's ruined the game, Jan, because I don't necessarily always agree with the captions, because the captions, especially these days, are more and more being written by AI. And what's weird is that's, I was like, okay, it sucks. If it works, it's great. If it sucks, it's not great. But I figured it was only going to be on new shows. You know, new shows that come out on Netflix that they got to put it in 100 different languages. But apparently,
the new Star Trek shows.
Y'all must be mistaken.
But apparently, some of these services are actually using AI to redo old captions. I don't know why.
It seems like the old stuff. Yeah.
And
I cannot explain.
I can't vouch for this, but I read a couple articles where people are saying not only are they redoing old captions, they're doing weird things where it's like not. It's not a direct caption. It's sort of like summarizing the line.
Really? Or if they're speaking with a British accent, it uses a British spelling. Yeah. I noticed that.
Oh, that's okay. Like color.
Yes, or okay. Flavor.
Flavor. All right. So Dan, play the.
Please have a transcription for your show too.
Yeah. Well, we do. The AI does a transcription that we use to feed into Dan's algorithm to select episodes. But you know what? I never actually look too closely at that transcription these days. And I'm not 100% sure if it's an AI transcription or not, because the service has been doing that for...
Well, I'll think about it and let you know.
For a while. Anyway.
Past tense.
Past tense. That's right. Past tense. That's Grayson's always is a great. Grayson's always trying to get us to do parallels, right? And I'm totally down to do parallels. And maybe if we say parallels enough.
Parallels.
Past tense.
That should.
It sounds like an intriguing experiment. I'll be interested to see the results.
Dan. Now, this is just off the top of my head, and I'm not trying to derail things here. I think you might like this.
Yes.
I think you might like this idea. How about? At some point, maybe we do a theme month, And the theme month is we do whatever episode your algorithm says, even if we've done the episode before. What do you think of that?
You got it, partner.
All right.
I thought Dan might like that, you know?
Change Patrick wants to do past tense for a moment.
Yeah, right. But only part two.
That's right. That's not the first one. I forgot about that. Yeah, your algorithm was always like, you don't need to bother with the setup. You don't need that setup. You need just the second part where like shit goes down. Yeah. All right. So
what do you want?
Damper versus dampener. Star Trek fans.
Okay. Let's do it.
Unless you're brand new to this, you're familiar with this old yarn. This goes way back. It's pre-Usenet, I'm sure. This debate between damper and dampener, and both
before.
Were used. Michael Okuda, he chimed in once on social media to our account, so that means we're famous,
right,
now.
Dude.
Really?
Talking about this, I unfortunately forget which side he fell on.
Yeah.
Remember that. Before you go further, Dan, Isaac, what's your opinion? Are you a damper person or are you a dampener person?
I'm a dampener person because I feel like the actual concept is about making it less.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, dampener makes more sense.
I agree.
The one seems to be more like putting a blanket on something. Yeah.
Yes, I agree.
I do not understand.
I don't understand this.
Dampener feels to me more action-oriented. More
yes.
go out there and do
like
something.
Like the pedal on the piano that dampeners it.
Sure. I find it extremely difficult to predict what you will find acceptable.
I can't relate to Jesse's analogy because I do not know how to play the piano.
But that's what they call it, isn't it?
I believe you.
Dan might back me up on this.
You and Dan are proper musicians.
Well,
you work in a music store. You work in a music store.
Yes.
And you sling music and you toss.
I slang it.
Toss instruments around. So,
what instrument are we talking about?
The piano.
The piano.
Oh God. So I've known Dan since he was like, 14?
Earlier than that.
Whoa, way before.
And I don't understand how I forget. But sometimes like Dan will say something, and I was like, is Dan suddenly stupid?
No, he's fucking with you.
Dan's like one of the most clever people I know, but like he just said something really stupid. And I react. I was like, oh my God, Dan, did you say something stupid? And then I'm like, oh no.
Y'all must be mistaken.
It's a gag.
Yes.
Why would I fall for that?
He's turned the tables.
Psychologically, I must want to fall for it. I want to participate. It's like when you want to see Usual Suspects for the first time again, or something like that. Whatever that might be. It's like I want to meet Dan again for the first time.
Is that the Kaiser Soze?
Yeah, it's the Kaiser Soze. So my mind just like blanks out sometimes, so I can appreciate Dan from a for lack of a better term, a virgin perspective.
We got him, Jefe.
Now all of that made me distracted. Did you ever play the dampener?
No,
dampener
because
sounds?
I've been waiting for you guys to let me to play the sound. But you guys keep going on to some other conversation.
Well,
I wanted to ask
a lot of words in my mouth.
I wanted to ask Isaac about his thoughts, and so now we got him. We're good to go. All right.
We're good?
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Thanks, Agamus.
Okay. Dampener versus damper.
I will perform a routine maintenance check on the starboard inertial damping system.
And?
Dampers online. Maintenance check in progress.
Damping and damper.
Yeah, there was no N in it. Either one of them.
And they did both forms.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
I don't like you.
No.
That legitimately caught me off guard.
See you, Frank!
It's now a good time.
How do you feel about Brent Spiner going,
see you, Frank?
There's a couple things in this episode. Look, I get it. And I'm actually, I think the debate about doing accents is complicated. I'm definitely in favor of, we should avoid any sort of offense. And I think that's the easiest thing to do is, to... not have people do comical.
That was just that one character,
accents. Yeah. However, the problem is this is kind of a multi-layered thing, and this is a question I have for you three. Look, Brent Spiner doing it is a one-time thing. It's
couldn't be finer than Brent Spiner.
It's meant to be campy. Okay, that's one thing. I'm not certain that the actor who Brent Spiner takes over, like, I'm not 100% sure that guy's like a Latin guy. Guys, I don't know. He kind of looks like more Italian to me or something. I don't know. I don't want to. I don't want to get like.
Maybe I could look that up.
Yeah.
You're a very funny man, Senor Eli.
I was nervous about that, and then even if the actor is of Latin descent, the accent is, I don't know. It's a little bit on the.
So it feels a little exaggerated.
It's on the.
His name is Jorge.
All right. Well,
Cervera.
Okay. I mean. I don't know. Like I said, this is a complicated debate where it's like, is it okay for the comical accent if the fellow's first name is, if the actor's first name is Jorge?
Well, right, exactly.
Kumail Nanjiani would talk about how he'd get interviews and they'd say like, can you just be more, you know?
More. They wouldn't say more Pakistani. They would just say more. And yeah, the reason they didn't say more Pakistani is because they didn't know that he was Pakistani. They just knew, they knew he was something.
They wanted him to like, play an Indian person and have an Indian accent, basically.
Yeah, absolutely.
Know?
Yeah.
And so you never, you know. So.
Well, I can't recall if we've ever brought it up on the podcast proper, but it's certainly something we've mentioned before that the film Big Trouble in Little China, which
you brought this up.
We've
before.
Talked about a bunch.
Many people, I know we talked about a bunch. I just can't remember it was on the podcast. But real briefly,
every time.
Real briefly, there are many people who look at Big Trouble in Little China and they'll accuse it of being this really kind of archaic, racist, stereotypical film. But then when you talk to Asian Americans, many Asian Americans are really huge fans of that film because it actually is one of, if not the first movies that let all the actors use their actual accent.
Oh.
So all they hired a number of Asian actors, people of Asian heritage, and they spoke with an American accent. They spoke with an American accent. They spoke with a Chinese accent or Japanese, whatever. They just used their normal speaking accent.
Didn't use Italian guys as Asian.
Exactly, which was groundbreaking. Both hiring actual people who represent the characters they're trying to represent and letting them speak in whatever way was normal, whether they had a Valley Girl accent or a very thick accent from
actual
overseas.
Asia.
Yeah.
Oh.
Anyway, it's just another thing that stands out in this where you're like, okay, you know, they're doing that. They're like, this is the funny Western. And so you got to have the the goofy Mexican fella and being all extra Mexican. Yeah. So it was funny, but also
that like, don't sound like a bright idea.
Yeah, in the not so funny,
not so funny way.
Real bad, Paul.
Right, well, speaking of being offensive, the holodeck was kind of offensive to Worf.
Was you born that way? Uh-huh. Or is your mama marry an armadillo?
Right.
Like, that's fucked up.
Are you part armadillo? That's fucking racist.
That's messed up. It's like you're just going to have some fun on the holodeck, and this holodeck character makes fun of your species.
I know, right?
And it's unusual because normally the holodeck characters can't tell.
So why wouldn't you fucking clock that guy?
Yeah. Right. So if I went on the holodeck and started making comments on my appearance, like, that's not cool. Making fun of the ridges on his head?
That is really messed up.
Like, it's what are you, the Cardi Spoonheads? What was that?
The Cardi Spoonheads.
Same difference.
I don't like that term. Is really, it's effective. The writer came up with a good term.
It's pretty hilarious.
I kind of like don't like saying it.
No,
it makes me a little uncomfortable.
It sounds bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Makes you sound silly.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you also didn't like
Rock the Gino, extra sweet. Makabu bread, no crust.
Yeah. You don't like Makabu bread.
The Spoonheads is worse.
I wish I could try some Makabu bread.
I'm into trying Makabu.
It's like French
bread.
Toast.
Yeah.
I feel it's like a
thin, like biscotti.
I feel like it's a thin brioche.
Like a thin brioche?
Yeah.
It seems like it's like a biscotti or something. It's coming with like a...
Why are we singing?
Whoops, I didn't mean to... That was an accident.
That was an accidental sound clip name.
I don't think that was an accident.
In every Western I've ever read, the villains always break their word. The villains always break their word. In every Western I've ever read, in every Western I've ever read, the villains always break their word. This is the ancient West.
Nightbird.
Was that like a limerick or something? Like, how'd you manage that?
I'm awesome.
Play Nightbird.
You are.
Thank you, Ms. Thank you, Ms. Thank you, Ms. Thank you, Ms.
All right. So
not fun.
It is very fun.
It's fun. That's a beat. That's how beats work.
You're a fun fella.
You repeat them.
Yes, and Dan again over.
That's how beats are defined as repetitious.
These many hundreds of episodes we produce, you have identified so many interesting, clever potential beats. Mm-hmm. Now you or
now you're gonna get beat,
or somebody's gotta take that extra step and rearrange them into and make like a EDM techno or whatever the kids are calling it these days song. You know, take a bunch of Molly or MDMA, ecstasy. We used to call it ecstasy, and then they called it Molly. They call it something else now. I can't remember.
Hoo-ha. They call it hoo-ha.
Hoo-ha. Hoo-ha. Yes.
Maybe we could get some Klingon fire wine. What's this Klingon fire wine? Have they ever talked about fire wine since?
No, I thought it was blood wine.
Yeah, I thought
blood
they were all the blood wine. They do the old joke of like, oh, we don't have that European stuff. It's alien stuff's always from Europe. The Coneheads were from France.
Yeah. I know, right?
Although a lot of it was silly.
And remember, Data's a Frenchman.
Yes.
Yeah.
There was that one episode he was from Brazil.
Because he's a nut.
This whole episode is, of course, very goofy, but
that one of my lists was only 3 points. It was only a 3 point list of silly things. I'm sure there's many more silly things. There are many more silly things.
I want to do the Dan's list of silly things, and then I'm going to do Isaac's game.
Oh yes, Isaac's game. Yes.
Yeah. I just to go off of the previous conversation, which I don't really remember the conversation, but I do remember the comment I was going to make. So to the audience, it'll probably make sense, which is that as silly and ridiculous as a lot of this episode was, they were having fun playing in this Western environment. Oh, yeah. And the actors were having, they were doing a good job. I liked the bad guy, you know, whatever. You
Data
know.
Frank?
Yeah.
Senior Frank?
No, before the actor before he became Brent Spiner, the kid.
The guy,
Eli?
That guy.
Eli?
Yeah, it was fun. And you got to see a few variations on that. That was a good time. Of course, the sets were obviously sets, but in a way that
don't
made
twitch
it
a whisker shave.
Ironically, more realistic because
unless you want to shave,
it looked like
it looked like a TV show.
But it was like part of the set. You could tell that it was just a front of the building. Yeah, like it was just like it looked like the fucking Renaissance Festival.
Well, okay, so I that is true. But I will say that as silly as this episode was, I did feel immersed in the set, even though they were only showing the front of the buildings. You know, it was only the front. I felt pretty immersed, and I thought it looked pretty good. Although when they were zooming out, I don't know what was behind that shit, but I swear that was like a palm tree
there
or something.
There was palm trees.
Yeah. It was like a palm tree.
There was some like hot weather trees.
And there was like, I think it was a parking lot behind
I didn't see
there.
The parking lot, but I believe it.
I think
it was just like a regular like Star Trek set.
It was, yeah. So I feel like if that wasn't there, it would have been better. But I like that when they were meeting around the corner, I thought this set looked pretty cool. Even though you knew it was fake, I thought it looked pretty good.
Production value, I thought, was overall.
It was visually, it was very nice.
Pretty solid. The costumes were
like
good.
Back where Absolutely. The palm tree was, if you look past beyond it, I can't tell what that area is back there, but it kind of looks a little parking lot-y.
Tricky.
Isaac, you seeing all this these hand motions and stuff that Dan does?
He's like a puppeteer, like this fella.
Yeah, I mean, and Isaac can't even see all of it because, you know, the zoom window is constrictive, but...
He's got tingly fingers.
Oh, now isn't that a shame?
Tingly fingers.
Do you have the recording? I'm hoping you do, but you may not. I'm kind of curious about this. When Troy is all like, Data! And he's all like, what? What? Like what?
Like when Bobby's like, "Hey Dad,
hey Dad,
hey Dad,
that's my purse. I don't know
I
you.
I don't know you.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Exactly. It's like the trip is not as good as the trip. What? Yeah. But it's like the trip.
What?
I figure you might.
What?
You might.
Nor are you just another biological organism.
Whoops, that was the wrong one.
What?
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 Texas.
What?
What?
What? What? What?
Out. They're spaced too far apart. I've got to put them close together.
Right. Okay, Dan, what's the three-point list? Three-point list. What's this three-point list?
A three-point list?
Yeah.
Well, I've got a couple of them.
Yeah, but you had a
I thought we were doing Isaac's game.
I thought we're... Okay, we'll do Isaac's game, and then we'll do the three-point list. All right,
what?
Isaac.
What? What? What?
Once Dan stops playing
what?
Sound effects...
What?
Feel free...
What?
Okay.
Feel free to take the floor.
Okay, sorry.
So I was doing a little research after announcing I had a game to see if I was actually right, and I'm not.
Okay.
So the game isn't which actress in this episode was in Seinfeld. It's which actress am I reminded of from Seinfeld.
Oh, boy.
This episode.
Okay. Well, there weren't that many actresses in this episode, so I can gotta say it's gotta be.
We're using the term actress because this is a 1990 show. Jesse, what are your thoughts? Because I loved Seinfeld, but I'm not as acutely familiar with the IMDb of Seinfeld. So which actress do you think Isaac of an actress?
Annie, because she was the only other person other than
who
that was a woman, right?
Which one?
Yeah, so Dan's right. It is the bar hop.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay.
What I need to know is which actress in Seinfeld she reminds me of.
All right.
Oh boy.
Okay.
That's a harder question. Not Elaine.
No,
it's a one and done. Like this person.
One of the waitresses from the diner or something.
Or was it somebody that Jerry dated? Was it one of Jerry's love interests?
No one dated this person.
Oh.
The actor's name is Joy Garrett.
Mm.
I found that.
Like Mrs. Garrett.
It's not in Seinfeld.
No, it's not.
There's an episode of Seinfeld where George accuses someone of wearing a wig. He's at Rick Barr's property's 10-year anniversary. And he goes, leave this chair or I'll tell people about the wig. And she goes, what wig? And he goes, one. And she gets up.
Ah, proving that she has the wig.
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
So that actress has a lot of similar characteristics as this bell.
I like this game.
Right on.
Who does this kind of remind me of? Well, I think we give up. We don't know the name of the actor. What is her name?
The actor inside.
Well, I mean, we know the character. Isaac didn't look it up.
Christina Miller.
Christina Miller. All right.
Well, Joy Garrett, interestingly enough, who was in this episode of Fistful of Datas, she was in a show that I used to watch called Sidekicks with you remember Sidekicks?
No. Ernie Reyes Jr.
Ernie Reyes Jr.
Hell
yeah.
Yeah, dude.
And
I watched that shit.
And like that always gets
karate.
That's always gets mixed up with the movie Sidekicks with Chuck Norris.
Yes.
With the kid from Sequest.
Yes. Yeah.
My dad was briefly Chuck Norris's lawyer.
Cool. Yeah. And then so Sidekicks was this show where Ernie Reyes Jr. played like the last Electric Knight or something.
Ernie Reyes Jr.
Yeah. I'm talking. Oh, yeah. Hold on. Let me explain Sidekicks.
All right. I understand.
God damn it.
This is what I understand now.
A thing about Sidekicks.
Yes, we're going to let you conclude that.
I'm going to let him finish because
I'm excited because you mentioned Ernie Reyes Jr., but I'm gonna cede the floor to you now.
So Sidekicks was this thing where Ernie Reyes Jr. was this kid that could do all these awesome like martial arts stuff, and he was like the last Electric Knight. And wouldn't he like every episode at the end he'd get all pumped up? And he would do some pumped up shit. Like one time he would climb up a wall or do some crazy shit, and he would summon some shit. And it was just he was
all Shinto.
Wasn't he one of the Ninja Turtles? Like in one of the Ninja Turtles suits?
I believe that's
what I wanted to bring up.
And he was also Kino in Ninja Turtles 2.
Yes.
But he was in one of the suits in the other one.
Yes, and I was gonna say our pal Isaac here is very familiar with the TMNT universe and he can confirm for us. Was Ernie Reyes Jr., was he in Donatello? Or I can't remember which suit he was in. I don't know if you happen to know.
I think it was Donatello.
It may have been Donatello. In the first movie, the best movie, he was in the suit. And then in the second movie, he played the pizza delivery
Kino
person.
Yeah, he was Donatello. Yeah. It says Donatello.
I'm glad I remembered that correctly, even though I didn't remember the conversation we had 5 minutes ago.
So the Joy Garrett was in Sidekicks.
Yeah, Joy Garrett was the one
I just looked it up.
That's what I just
said. That's why Dan brought it up.
Why do you think I brought it up?
Yeah.
Apparently, she died only a couple of months after this episode.
Oh, that's right. It's always upsetting when you see that. You know, and I've a couple times recently, I've been looking up actors and it's like, oh, yeah, they totally died after like a week after this. And it's like, oh, man.
Bummer, dude.
1993.
What if we sidestep to the other actor that played Annie in this episode of Star Trek?
The other act?
Brent Spiner?
We talked about. Yeah, we haven't really talked about the joke at the end of the episode that Brent Spiner is a girl.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I actually...
I didn't really feel like that aged very well.
Wait.
You're as handy with a shooting iron as you are with a woman's heart.
And Worf keeps going like, end program. like, oh, no. I'm going to say it's because Worf was just weirded out because it was Data, not because it was like...
Of course.
Data and drag or whatever.
Well, sure. I think if this episode were made more recently, it would have ended with Worf would have had to sleep with the character in order to end the program. Because they were kind of like hinting that that's the only way the program would end. Like, that's the true ending of the program. But they chickened out.
That's the other thing they did in this episode I forgot to mention. They did the thing where in order to get out of the program where the safety protocols failed, they have to beat the game.
Yeah. And not only that, right. It's like they just state that and everyone's like, oh yeah, obviously that's
obviously
the case.
You have to beat the game. And I know they bring this up every time, but really, why are the safety protocols in the holodeck always the first thing to go whenever something... There was nothing that happened in this that would cause the safety protocols to go out. It's like, okay, Data invades the system and the safety protocols go away.
But you know, it was funny, like...
Like, why did they go away?
Like, all Worf said was like, the safety protocols have failed or whatever he said. And like, but like, he got shot. Like, yeah. He didn't say like, I got shot. Yeah, yeah. And he didn't give a shit that he got shot. Like,
yeah, it was kind of like, awesome.
He was just like...
Or even jumped into the holodeck.
All right, so
I think Patrick's point's important though. Like, if Data and Worf had to sleep with each other, and the holodeck safeties are off, that could result in impregnation.
Absolutely, and
holopregnation.
Holograms.
Holograms.
And there's probably a little bit more we can talk about that in a bit. But first, we need to take a break. So let's do that. And when we come back, we will have Where the Hell Have I Heard That Before?
We'll have some
more stuff from Dan, some more listen stuff. And we will conclude our discussion of Fisting of Datas. Be right back.
Computer freeze program.
Interface deactivated.
And we're back.
Come.
Please proceed.
Now, Dan.
Mm-hmm. What?
You assure me.
Yes, sir.
That you weren't making a cum joke, an ejaculation.
Oh no.
Joke with the
He would never do that.
With the Picard cum.
Yes.
Dan's been getting mad at me because you know we did the Enterprise episode Vox Sala, which is
yes.
It's just full of semen. It's a very bizarre episode. Great podcast.
Is that so?
Great podcast.
Is that so?
But Dan's just like, it's too much cum talk. But then he plays...
Let's hope it's enough.
He plays Picard saying... What was it? Picard saying cum twice? Can you do it again? Just do it again.
Cum.
Please proceed.
All right.
Because he said it a lot in this episode. Okay. There were humorous moments.
Okay. All right.
That's
just what he says, like, when people knock on his door. Man.
What you're doing right now, Patrick, is you're trying to make your problem my problem. Right, and this is not my problem. This is your problem.
What is the problem,
man? I'm not trying to, there's,
he's got cum on the brain.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't think there's anything wrong with cum.
Doesn't everybody.
But isn't it Picard?
Yeah.
It's not you guys. This is Picard.
Exactly. Yeah. Picard's the one saying cum.
But he thinks I chose it because I'm just like all cum heavy or something. I don't know.
Cum heavy.
I don't like that.
It sounds bad.
Okay. All right. So we're going to get back to talking about the Fistful of Datas in a moment. But first, we have to do our weekly game of Where the Hell Have I Heard That Before, where we select a sound clip from somewhere in the Star Trek universe, play it for the audience, and the audience sends in their guesses, and then we talk about it the next week. So
it's the best part.
All right. What Dan has played is a very, if you're not aware, a very upsetting clip from Shawshank Redemption. Shawshank Redemption has many upsetting parts. That is the most upsetting thing. Hands down.
Sorry about that.
No worries. I like it. It's just, I'm just pointing that out. Okay. So, Where the Hell Have I Heard That Before? Dan, if you wouldn't mind, Dan, could you play last week's clip for the audience?
I'd be happy to, Patrick.
All right.
Oh, right.
Surprise.
Perfect. That, you played that so nicely.
I did a good job.
Sounded really nice.
I did a really good job.
You did a very nice job. Okay. So that was the clip we played last week. Now, I always give Dan, Jesse, and of course, this week, we'll give first dibs to our guest, Isaac, here to offer their own guesses. I haven't told them what the answer is. They might have sussed it out one way or the other, but and they'll tell us if they cheat. Jesse occasionally cheats and then admits it. Isaac, do you have a guess about that sound clip from last week? Where the hell have you heard that before?
That's not what the game's called.
So this game's getting like a reputation of trickery.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to guess that it's from A Fistful of Datas.
Oh, you're going to guess that it's from A Fistful of Datas.
Because like he said, this game has a history of trickery.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing. Isaac. You're very clever there because I'll tell you right now, that the guess is incorrect, but I'm going to give you lots of credit, some imaginary points, because I have thought of that exact idea. I just haven't been able to work it. The right episode hasn't come around yet. So
it's just a crazy idea.
Little spoiler here. If folks are trying to guess future trickery, that may be that's something you should consider. I may pick a clip from the episode we're discussing that week.
Commander, what are you doing?
This is a good time to remind folks, look, I like picking these clips. However, I also welcome suggestions from the audience, and we've had a number of suggestions.
I suggest you find a new line of work.
You can either send us the clip or
Nightbird.
You can send us the time codes. That's fine. That's sufficient. Let us know, and we'll add it to the pile of potential future clips. 10 seconds or less, ideally. Please send in your suggestions. However, we are now going to go through the guesses for last week's clip that you had just heard.
Nightbird. Nightbird.
Bird.
Bird. Nightbird. Kicking bird. Nightbird.
The first guess.
You never get let us guess, Patrick.
Oh, sorry. You're right.
That's okay. I don't have a guess.
Dan and Jesse.
I don't really have a guess, but it sounds like, you know, some sort of transitional moment.
Playing some music.
Surprise.
There's a transporter, or there's just music.
I like the part where it's all like, oof,
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 oof.
I got nothing.
Okay, but you're right, Dan. Please hold my feet to the fire on that one, because I do want you all to guess if you
fire burn.
Okay, so unfortunately, Isaac, your guess of A Fistful of Datas is incorrect, but you're
I've got imaginary points.
You get imaginary points, yeah, like a British panel show.
These are our messages.
We have an email guess from Amy, who is a regular guesser for this show.
Quite a good guess.
A very good guesser, although Amy says that this is her email. Although I don't have any idea where this week's Where the Hell Have I Heard That Before is from, I want to take a minute to apologize for upsetting Dan with my submission last week. Now, clever-eared listeners, regular listeners, will know that Dan ranted a little bit last week. He was saying we were being too tricky, and he was accusing me of being too tricky. I pointed out to him that Amy was the one who sent in that week's clip, and the previous week's clip was sent by Kara, and Dan, you know.
Yeah.
Dan was like, everyone's trying to trick me.
He was picking a fight with you.
So Amy says, I want to take a minute to apologize for upsetting Dan with my submission last week. I promise I wasn't intentionally trying to be tricky, and in fact, one could argue that Kara's submission the week before was much more tricky than mine. Mm-hmm. My submission featured easily recognizable voices, narrowing the range of possible episodes considerably, whereas Kara's submission featured less recognizable voices, requiring one to have an extensive catalog of possibilities. Tricky indeed.
In your face,
I sincerely apologize.
Amy concludes by saying, I find myself feeling relieved to have no clue as to the answer to this week's puzzle. I can now wash my hands of the matter and go about my evening in blissful ignorance. Thank you, Amy.
Thanks, Agamemnon.
That's a fantastic contribution.
Absolutely.
You don't even have to have an answer, but you still participate in the game, and we have a good time.
Bonus points.
Boner points. Next.
Whatever.
Next guess. We have an email guess from Grayson, and Grayson says, "Is it the marine biologist lady from the one with the whales?" Jumping into the transporter beam so she can abandon everything she has in the world to get on a spaceship with a man who says he's from the future. Well, that's a pretty good guess, Grayson.
That's quite a good guess.
Let's continue on before we finalize, you know.
Well, you've already said which ones aren't right.
Yeah, but I haven't said which one's right or which one's the most right.
But I mean, you said you were like, that's wrong, and you didn't say this was wrong, so it must be right.
He's not necessarily right.
But why would you break pattern?
Well,
are you a philosopher?
Patrick still hasn't said that Brent Spiner isn't going to be on this week's episode.
Yeah, right. He's going to pop in at the end and go like, hey, guys.
Listen to my new podcast. By the way, his new
podcast. I reckon.
His new podcast with Jonathan Frakes is truly fantastic. Because you never know. Sometimes they're good. Sometimes they're bad. I watch it on YouTube. I forget what it's called. I don't know. It's Brent Spiner and Jonathan Frakes. It's like they dropping names, I think. Is
Look it up.
Sounds delicious.
It's fun.
Nightbird.
If you're not sure which one to check out the one they did with the Firefly people. I think you'll enjoy that one. Okay. So thank you, Grayson. We'll continue on. Dan, can you play? We have a voicemail guest from Jack Dorino.
Good evening. This is a voicemail for Pat, Daniel, and Jess. I wanted to talk to you about how Time Lord clever you all are. So it's never what you think it is, right? So it's obviously it was Jillian jumping onto Kirk in Star Trek IV. However, I would assume, being you are who you are, that it must be something from Lower Decks. Maybe I'll go watch an episode. Hi, Grayson.
I like the clever thing he did. He said Pat, Daniel, and Jess.
Yeah. Because
it's Patrick, Dan, and Jesse.
Yes.
Yeah.
He added a syllable to mine, but took off two syllables
People often call me Jess.
Yeah.
That's not the point. The point is that he knows you as Jesse. Everyone knows you as Jesse. Yes. Everyone knows Patrick as Patrick. Everyone knows me as Dan. Mm-hmm. But he did a trick. He added a syllable and made it Daniel, and then he took a syllable away from. He did an inverse thing.
I observed the same thing, Dan, and was equally.
I think I messed with his name the last episode.
I was equally excited as you were, Dan. I wasn't necessarily going to mention it, but I was sort of inside. I was like, yeah, that's good.
I feel ignored.
All right. So thank you, Jack Dorino, for that guest. You think it's something from Lower Decks. all right. And then we have an email guest from Emmanuel, another frequent contributor.
Thanks, Agamemnon.
That was for Jack.
Emmanuel says, ahoy, Dennis, Mac, and Charlie.
All right.
This week seems obvious because at first it seems like it's the mum or mom from Seventh Heaven hugging Denny Crane while he beams up in Star Trek IV, The One with the Whales. But given that in past episodes of Where the Hell Have I Heard That Before, actually, let me do this properly. Given that in past episodes of WTHHIHTB, that clever so-and-so Patrick has played sounds from Lower Decks characters on Strange New Worlds, or Tom Riker instead of Will Riker, or other malarkey.
Yep.
I'm going to guess that Patrick has some form of portal to the multiverse, and that he has taken the sound from Star Trek IV, but in the dimension where Eddie Murphy plays the marine biologist, Jillian Taylor. I think he and Shatner's sexual chemistry would have been interesting, to say the least. That's, for folks who aren't aware, Star Trek IV, as originally written, was going to have Eddie Murphy as the whale scientist. This plot line was a little bit different, but pretty similar. That fell through. Eddie Murphy ended up doing the...
that's a good idea.
The Emerald Child, or what was that?
Golden Child.
The Golden Child.
He goes, I want the lamp. I want the lamp. That was like one part in the movie. He's like spinning some thing, going like, I want the lamp.
Did he sing that?
Or does he say the knife? He goes,
party
other
time, party other time, party other time.
I think he says knife. He goes, I want the knife. He goes, spins this thing, goes, I want the knife.
Yeah.
It's not a good movie.
I thought it was enjoyable.
You were saying they chose a marine biologist over a nutty professor.
That's right.
No, the Golden Child was not a good movie, but I remember enjoying it as a kid.
To be fair.
No, it's not a good movie.
To be fair to the movie, I haven't seen it in, I don't know, 30 years.
I don't remember enjoying
it. I'll give it a chance. I'll watch it again.
I like this thing people are doing with our names. I'm into it.
I'm into it
in a big way.
Absolutely.
Didn't Isaac start that? I think Isaac.
Yeah, I think you're
Dengus
responsible
and
for this.
Dengus.
Yeah. Jangus. Wangus. Jangus, Dangus, and Pangus, or whatever.
Emmanuel,
thanks for that, Isaac.
Emmanuel goes on to say Eddie Murphy's 1987 film Raw is a classic, but you could be forgiven for describing his act as cool but crude. I love you, Dan.
Thanks, Agamemnon.
Thanks for making my Mondays so special, guys. P.S. I need to know, Data as Miss Annie in A Fistful of Datas, yes or no? let's pin that thought, because I do want to discuss.
Cool but crude indeed.
I do want to discuss.
Thank you.
I think it's cool but rude.
I want to briefly discuss. I know we talked about Data is Miss Annie a little bit. There's one other point I want to make about that towards the end of our conversation. But just to conclude, where the hell have I heard that before? We have our final guess, Blue Sky guess from Kara. And Kara says, where the hell have I heard that before? I get it. It took me a while to get it immediately. At first, I didn't get it because I was like,
sounds delicious.
I was like, Kara usually writes things properly. But I was like, oh, it's an accent. Where the hell have I heard that before? This week, I'm going to guess that Jillian's glomping onto Kirk as he transports back to the ship in The One with the Whales. Actually, she says, The One with the Whales.
You all right?
Brilliant. Okay. So I'm going to assign the win this week to Kara.
All right.
Because it was Star Trek IV. I know a lot of people guessed it, but here's the deal. Kara is the only one who guessed Star Trek IV without reservation, without equivocation, without fearing that I had tricked you all. I am enjoying the fact that people are so like convinced. They're like, I know what the answer is, but I'm going to assume I'm wrong. It means we're doing something,
This is the hardest game ever.
So yes, that was Star Trek IV. The One with the Whales, Jillian jumping onto Kirk, breaking the temporal prime directive.
Incredible.
I believe that.
Going to the future, which all makes sense because when you watch the movie, she doesn't have any friends. Her boss is a piece of shit. Her only emotional attachments really are the whales, as far as we can tell.
They're eating like some weird breadsticks and some beer.
The important bit. Is she risks it all for Kirk and isn't in Star Trek 5 or 6.
Well, and here's the thing. One thing that's kind of awesome about the Jillian character is that there's sort of like, you know, there's hints they play around with this potential romantic angle, but she and Kirk never actually end up, never really, like, do anything. And then Kirk, even at the end of the Star Trek 4, is all like, I don't even have your number. And she's like, I'm not going to give you my number. I got some like shit to do now. She's like, I got a job. She even points at her little badge. She's like, they give me like a little fucking like badge and shit. I'm going to deal with these whales.
They both like out teased each other.
Yeah, exactly.
We all know that sharing pizza isn't just sharing pizza.
Yeah. Sharing pizza is not just sharing pizza. Okay. Very good job, everyone. Loved all those guesses. Keep them coming. Let's play the sound clip for next week. We'll play it twice. So you can get a chance to hear it twice. I know it's a digitally recorded format and you could rewind, but being an avid podcast listener myself, take your phone out of your pocket to rewind it just so you rehear the sound clip. So Dan, if you could play that sound clip.
Yes, I get the idea, Mr. Fortune. Okay. Thank you. Please proceed.
good point, Dan. That's probably another one that Dan's going to keep in his favorites, specifically to target me with, quite correctly on most occasions. Dan, could you play that sound clip?
Scotty, beam me up.
All right, there you go.
There you go.
Oh, damn it.
Scotty, beam me up. One more time, Dan.
Scotty, beam me up.
There you go. All right, simple as that.
Closest you get to beam me up, Scotty.
Yeah. Scotty, do some beaming. So send in your guesses. You can send them.
Is it a trick?
I don't know.
It's always a trick.
Send them to feedback@itsgotstartrek.com. Or you can DM us. That's a direct message, as I recall. Direct message us on social media at It's Got Star Trek on most of the social medias. What else can you do? You can you can send us a voicemail.
Some stuff.
It's Got Star Trek /record.
I'm not allowed to say.
Yeah. So I don't know. You can send a...
And don't forget to add your anxiety to it. I can, like, watching Patrick as we record this, he loves talking about everyone's anxiety to people, I guess. He's so happy.
I mean, I'm not going to deny that. I couldn't deny that.
He loves the threat to my intelligence, I feel.
You notice how Dan said the threat to my intelligence, not to our intelligence or the audience's intelligence.
I know what you have been to, Patrick.
He thinks I'm targeting him. I'm not. I'm just trying to make it fun for the audience, right? We have an audience of very, very well-informed anxiety-prone fans, but more particularly...
Intelligent people.
Intelligent people who have a deep knowledge of the Star Trek universe. And by the way, Dan,
you are a murderer and a thief.
I freely admit, most of these were to hear them, I wouldn't be able to guess a lot of them either. Anyway,
I haven't got a single.
And you saved
one.
Them.
And I, yes, precisely. All right. So that was another fun one. I hope so. Send in your guesses. And now back to our conversation about this this crazy business. Dan, did you
Commander,
have
what are you doing?
Yeah, like when Worf says,
Commander, what are you doing?
That's when Data neck pinches him. It sounds like he's going like, stop it, guys. Yeah, I know. Come on, man. Don't play too rough.
That hurts, man.
Hey, man.
And I
that's not cool.
It is very excellent writing that they are showing and not telling.
Excellent.
They are demonstrating, it's an early demonstration that not only are the holodeck safeties off, but that the Data characters have the same capabilities of real Data, not just their holographic characters.
He's really fucking strong.
Because the holographic guy grabbing Worf wouldn't give a shit about that. All right, so
he's gonna hurt you.
I was trying to vamp a bit.
What are you
doing,
dude?
Dan is.
Do you have like a sack full of cans?
Yeah, Dan's got like Mary Poppins. Dan's got one of the Mary Poppins bags that just got like.
What did you say?
All sorts of shit in it, or it's like a Doctor Who TARDIS.
Some shit fell over, and I was trying to put it back on the bench, but like it was like not the table was blocking it.
Yeah.
The height of the bench was too high, and the table was too low, and it like somehow fell, but I couldn't pull it back through. Anyways,
it's all good.
Let's just
that's on me.
Some silly things that happened. There's many things, but there was three silly things that I've noticed.
Okay.
I thought the hat shot when Troy shot the guy's hat off, that was silly, but I think that was intentionally silly.
Yes.
It's a trope. It's a
Western because
trope.
Because it's like they do the shot and you can tell some string is like pulling the hat off. But that was definitely, that was okay silly because that was definitely sort of an homage to a Western.
That
was so
they were having
cheesy.
That was part of them having fun this episode. And I get it. It is a great vessel for Brent Spiner to have fun, for the production team to have fun, for the directors. Everyone's having fun.
Yeah.
And so they're using all these tropes and making fun gags. And I don't know, maybe it's because we're 30 years later or whatever, but 35 years later. But the problem is, it's just like, okay, like, can you
don't care about Westerns anymore.
Or did you do the Western, but maybe do like a little variation on it. I mean, other Star Treks have done Western stuff that's been less ridiculous.
And this scene.
Senor Frank!
When he throws the gun and into a slow-mo of him like clumsily kind of catching this gun. I thought that was kind of silly.
Again, another trope. Yeah. This one a little undermined because as you said, Dan, it's not like it was elegant.
Yeah.
It's supposed to look super cool. It's the same thing when the guy's trying to like do that spinning gun thing. It's like, yeah, okay, but you didn't do it really well. Like in a movie, the guy would have been practicing or they would have hired a special six-shooter gun guy who does the spinning gun and it would have looked awesome. But they just had the actor try to do it and he's just like, oh, okay.
Now, was that when Data did that? Was that a tricorder or a phaser?
I think it was a tricorder.
Tricorder. Yeah. I guess
they don't carry phasers.
They don't carry phasers on a day-to-day, do they?
Unless you're like in the security.
No. I mean, if they allow anyone to wander under the bridge, I imagine they don't carry phasers.
Yeah.
The other silly thing was, and I know that this is a trope too, but it was like, it's pretty silly. When Worf shot Senor Hollow Data Frank, when he didn't shoot him, he shot his gun away, which is a trope. But like, he's a hologram, so why would he
hologram?
Why would he try to shoot his gun away? Why wouldn't he just blast him in the face? You know,
because it's cool.
I know it's silly, but as I said, these aren't really true. These aren't like
why would Worf be proficient with a handgun?
Yeah, who knows?
I mean, I know he's a
warrior.
He's fully functional.
Well, the only thing we didn't mention is Worf's a fucking. I'm reminded in this episode he's a fucking cop.
Yeah,
fucking, right. Because like, he was like, "Oh, we're in law enforcement."
Law enforcement. He's like, he's fucking.
I'm beginning to see the appeal of this program.
This episode ran a little long. They had to cut the scene where, like, that scene. It actually went on a little longer, and like, Alexander is like, "Daddy, why do you have a huge boner all of a sudden?" It was like right after Worf is like, "Oh, I'm law enforcement."
Yeah. Anyways,
I get to abuse. And then later, Worf is like, "What do I do? Do I execute him? What rights does he have? Can I just like abuse these people?"
Anyways, those weren't
two boners.
Oh, that fair. Yes, thank you, Isaac. Two boners,
and two. They got the title Fistful.
Yes, two boners. Worf had two boners, and when he realized when he got shot and he realized the safeties were off, he had two clenched assholes.
So, if Double Dick Dude were a Klingon, would he have four boners?
Yeah, except Double Dick Dude turned out to be fake.
That's neither here nor there.
It was a well photoshopped picture.
Double Dick Dude is rude but crude.
Yeah. Okay.
He's right.
So that was Dan's Dan's three silly things. Any other? I mean, like you said, Dan, there's of course many other
silly things. And so this wasn't like this episode is stupid silly. This is just little silly moments in the episode.
Everything about this episode is silly.
Maybe I should have just called it moments of levity.
Yeah. Isaac, were there any additional silly things that stood out for you in this episode?
I was just wondering with Dan's list, was there also a ricochet sound? You know, when you shoot someone in a Western and it goes...
Yeah. Oh yeah.
At which point where did you hear the ricochet?
Wait, tell me if it's in this one. Tell me if it's in this because I can't remember. That was kind of a ricochet.
Well, no, that I don't know. I know
that wasn't like a ba-choom. No, it was a but it was bouncing. It was hitting something.
Could be. Yeah.
I think that's the closest to a ricochet shot we got. Isaac, did you hear a different one? Did you hear it?
I'm just thinking there should be a ricochet shot.
There's always got to be a ricochet shot where it's like that high pitch.
It just doesn't make any sense. Yeah. If you've handled firearms, which, you know, we're all Americans, so we grew up.
We've been shooting each other.
One thing I did is when they played the scene and then when Alexander went, no, yes. And they started it over again, I recorded both versions of several of the sounds.
Ah, did you play them over top of each other?
Yeah, I played them back to back. But yeah, I determined I can play them for you if you want. But like
the long and the short of it is your analysis demonstrates that it was acted out two different times. Or the reverse.
Well, I can play it and you can decide for yourself.
Ah, an impromptu game.
Oh.
All righty, Dan.
Okay, here's one.
You're a very funny man, Señor Eli. You're a very funny man, Señor Eli.
Okay. I didn't realize it was that clip. It's a little unfortunate that it's that particular clip.
There were several of them.
But that one...
Sounds the same to
me. It sounds really close. How about you, Isaac?
I think it was from A Fistful of Daters.
That's okay. Correct.
Here's another one.
He laughs so much, he's wondering he ain't got flies in her mouth. He laughs so much, he's wondering he ain't got flies in her mouth.
Sounds the same.
It does sound very, very much the same.
Okay, here's another one.
Shut up.
That sounds identical to me.
But there's something different.
Shut up.
The music is different.
The piano is different, yes, but the sound effect is the same.
Well, they recorded.
They tried to make it
ADR. They laid in. They probably laid in that that musical.
On
cue.
The first one, they had a dampener.
Yeah. Then the second one, they had a damper. Yeah. Okay. Here's an. I won't. There's two more, but I'll only play one set because they're like the same. Here's one.
That sounded different.
They sounded different. That one was different. But okay, I might as well play the other one.
That sounds the same.
Yeah, one of the laughs was different for some reason, but the other laughs were different.
There was just
same.
the one time.
Yeah, and then the other ones. Now the piano ones just started at different points. Mm. But yeah, I think the only difference between the other ones is if you listen closely to the background's a little different.
That's wild, dude.
But not necessarily on all of them. A couple of them sounded completely identical. Mm. So it was like totally inconsistent. I find that fascinating that they didn't stick with one choice. They were inconsistent about it.
It's a very silly episode.
Yeah, very silly on many levels.
Mm-hmm. Anyway.
What's the matter? Was my paw a little too rough on you?
All right. Any final points about this episode? Because... I don't know if there's any sound clips that you haven't played yet, Dan.
Well,
there's
a silly episode.
Duty or no duty.
Oh, yeah. We do need to do our duty or no duty. I'm eager to do that. There are a couple,
it's our duty.
Before we get to that, because we need to do duty or no duty quickly, a quick comment about sexy, not sexy Data. We already mentioned Data. You know, they referenced Data's spot poem, which was cute because that poem is...
Your visual, olfactory, and auditory senses contribute to...
I recognize it. This is Data's poetry.
Yeah, I like how he cuts her off because he's like, yeah. We've had enough of that. But the thing I wanted to say about Data as Annie at the end, I already mentioned the whole it would have been kind of funny if they, Worf had, the implication was Worf had to hang out, quote unquote, with Annie Data in order to conclude the program. But I honestly wonder if the writers or producers had to have some kind of debate as to whether or not to give Data a buxom chest. Because I could see both sides of the argument. Because when Data first comes down, I'm like, okay, the problem is like Data doesn't have like big boobs like Annie.
An android.
But he's wearing the Annie dress, so it's kind of taking away from his presenting that character. On the other hand, I could see people in the writing room saying, yeah, but Data as a character in the hologram, they might give him a mustache or something, but otherwise he's got this like weird flat chest.
Hologram.
I don't know. I think I would have preferred it if they gave Data as Annie big boobs. What say all of you?
You Dan, big gloat?
Dan, I tend to agree.
Jesse, you like the boobs? Dan, would you prefer boobs or no boobs on your Data?
I honestly hadn't thought about it.
Okay,
I hadn't thought about it, but I would tend to. Patrick is talking sense.
Yeah. How about you, Isaac? Are you a boobs Data or no boobs Data?
If you talk about being fully functional, mm-hmm. you got to back it up.
Yeah, I agree.
For real, dude.
I agree. I think they chickened out on a couple points there.
Yeah, okay. I think, you convinced me. I think we needed to have bigger boob Data.
Yeah, it'd be better.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, I'll think about it and let you know.
Jesse's having fun sneezing. That's okay. We're just going to leave that in. This is the end of the podcast.
Isaac is raising his hand.
Oh,
here.
Isaac.
But it's hard going to be hard because Jesse's got to do some business here.
All right. So Jesse's sneezing. Isaac's got a question over there.
Jesse's still sneezing.
From many thousands of miles away.
Lord knows why I keep risking my life for you, Sheriff.
Sometimes I think Jesse just keeps like a little. You know how people like have the little, cocaine ring. I think Jesse has a little ring just with pollen in it.
Pollen. He's like dust.
Oh, fuck these guys up! I'm gonna just take a little bump of pollen. All right, Isaac. Oh my God! All right,
I got you.
Okay. I think Jesse may be done now.
Oh, I hope so.
Isaac.
Otherwise, I'm fired.
You have the floor.
So my question is, if there's 174 episodes, it would take of TNG, is this in your top 170?
I think it was it's 178, I think, total. Not to be, pedantic there. I know there's a debate on whether Encounter at Farpoint is two episodes or not. Ranking this episode... good call, Isaac.
You said top 117?
Well, he was trying to say where does this fall for you?
It's down there.
For me, it's down there. It's not awful. People are kind of having
it's memorable, but it's not
but it's
because
just, it just feels pointless.
Yeah.
I think it's memorable basically because
it's so silly.
The idea is funny. You know that this is, we've mentioned this before. This happens in the creative field sometimes. You're sitting around, you're tossing out ideas, and you fall in love with an idea. And then sometimes you fall so in love with an idea that you sort of don't you don't see the problems there might be with it. Like maybe it's too simple. Maybe it's too silly. Maybe it's not that interesting. They haven't done an interesting enough twist. It's another hologram thing. It just seems like, oh, let's just have Brent.
Hologram.
Let's have Brent play a bunch of different characters. He's good at playing different characters. He is.
Right.
So
there's that. There's like annoyed Picard. There's like the cat jumping in Data's lap. Like,
the cat. The cat's part was the best part.
That's probably the best part.
But
it was completely ridiculous.
Now, I guess what makes this stand out was supposed to be was Brent Spiner's several performances. But I think though I compare this to something like My Man Bashir, which was
Our Man Bashir.
Sorry, Our Man Bashir. Yeah. Sorry.
It's only two.
Is that the one with like Betty Grable?
Yeah, gotta avoid the emails. No, the Betty Grable. Enterprise.
There's no emails. You always say got to worry about the emails. There's no emails.
People don't send the emails because I head them off.
Okay.
By correcting our errors, I try to. All right. So, Dan.
Anyways, Our Man Bashir. Mm-hmm. That is another episode where they're going for like a genre type of thing, and it doesn't have like much. It doesn't really have much bearing on the rest of the universe. Mm. It's kind of like this self-contained fun little story off in the hollow world. But that one works.
Yes.
That one works.
Yes.
It's fun. It's a fun twist. You can see all the character interplay.
Right.
Garrick is pissed off that Julian's playing spy and Garrick's a real spy. But then Garrick learned some life lessons along the way.
Yeah. You could argue that they're both mostly ineffectual to the rest of the series. Yeah. But that one, there's a lot going on in Our Man Bashir.
Yeah.
My Man Machine.
Yeah.
I agree. Good call. Good call.
Mm-hmm. Well said, Brother Dan.
Okay. Duty or no duties?
All right. Here's number one.
The captain saw fit to release me from my duties. From my duties. From my duties. From my duties.
Isaac.
What do you think?
That's a duty.
All right. Isaac thinks it's a duty. Jesse?
From my duties.
No duty.
Yeah. I'm with Jesse. I think it's a no duty. I think he's saying duty pretty clear.
I'm sorry, Isaac. I have to agree.
If it's a no duty, it's not a duty.
No, it's a... So
it's a duty.
It's a duty. We're Jesse and I are saying it is a duty, and Dan, I think, is agreeing with us. It's not a duty. So in other words, it doesn't sound like he's saying poop. It sounds like he's saying the word properly.
Duty, yeah.
But to be fair to Isaac, it may not be coming through fully clearly down the line, funneling down through the internet, the interweb, the ARPANET, all the way down to...
Through FidoNet.
To Hobart. It's not FidoNet. That's a BBS.
It's very nice to be Petri.
Yeah. Dan, you think it's a no duty?
I think it's a no duty.
No duty.
I couldn't... It's like right... For me, it's like right on the edge because I don't think it's quite. I don't think it's quite a duty.
Yes.
It's not quite a duty.
Spock and Tuvok often, not always. They had really clear like duty,
right? Yeah. But it's just shy of duty. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Neither.
All right, next one.
I'll keep an eye on him for you, Sheriff. You two go have a good time.
That's very considerate of you, but I would be negligent in my duties if I did not stay. I am sorry, Miss. Negligent in my duties. Negligent in my duties. Negligent in my duties.
I think we give Isaac the honor again. What do you think?
First of all, I love it. Yeah. That has to be a duty. It's a plural duty.
Jesse, your thoughts?
I can hear a prominent T.
Okay. So. I disagree with you, Jesse.
Really?
I'm with Isaac.
Really?
I think that's a duty.
I think that's a full-on stinky duty.
This is a rare time where Jesse and I disagree.
That's big steaming duty.
It was pretty stinky duty. Duties.
So duty.
It's almost like I can smell it now.
Oh, you can smell it. You can
it
smell
is
it.
It is stinking.
It's almost like he said it to be funny.
And then a big brown shark came.
Oh, no.
Exactly.
All right. Okay, great. That was fun. Ridiculous episode.
Yeah.
Commander? Not one of the best ones.
You just sit tight.
On TNG.
However, have us all fixed up in time for supper.
I think it does illustrate that, look, I still had fun watching this.
It's
not great. I'm not rushing out to go watch it again.
No.
Some episodes I just could watch over and over. This is not one of those. I hadn't watched it in many years. I don't need to watch it for many more years. Star Trek in general, TNG in particular, you know, it's rare that you're going to have, like, a bad time watching
TV. Yes, Counselor Durango.
She's all like, call me Durango.
Yeah, we didn't talk much about Troy hanging out.
Right, Durango.
Yeah.
Durango.
Okay.
Nightmare.
So, we'll talk about what we'll do next week. Then we'll let Isaac promote his various activities.
Hell yeah.
And then we'll close down the podcast. So, next week.
Well, you know, we also didn't talk about the scene where they showed both Frank and Eli, Data, Frank and Data, Eli, where you think they cut the film.
Yeah. Well,
because it looked weird when he was grabbing the bars.
It was kind of the
I don't know if that was
version. Yeah. It was because they were filmed, you know, it was the actor playing both roles. Sometimes they do it better than others. Star Trek often did it well.
That was kind of, it didn't
look that great.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Next week, Dan's algorithm, we've gone back to this algorithm, and it has selected for us Deep Space Nine's Rules of Acquisition.
All right.
That's the episode you got to watch, because that's what we're going to be discussing next week. Rules of Acquisition. It's a season two episode. And yes, you guessed right. It's a Ferengi-focused episode. It's an interesting one.
Don't worry.
One programming note. I forgot to ask Jesse about this. I'm presuming it's okay. We will be recording on Thursday night instead of Friday. So this comes out on Monday. You've got until Thursday to send us your questions, comments, and where the hell have I heard that before guesses. So send those by Thursday evening, East Coast time in the U.S. And please, we really want to hear from you. It makes it so much more fun, particularly the where the hell have I heard that before.
But we have made an honorable agreement.
Now, Isaac, tell the folks where they can hear some more from you.
Thank you. I host a podcast called Trek 365, which started off as counting down a list of 365 episodes of memorable episodes in order. 365 65 seconds of each episode. But I got to the end of that list, and this year I have pivoted to doing Ensign Nobody's personal logs. So he's a NPC on board a Star Trek vessel, and we follow his daily musings. I'm also doing the first Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie 1 minute at a time. I have to admit that's my favorite thing on the channel at the moment.
Yeah, and which is pretty great.
Which me and some of us are doing as well.
Yeah, I have submitted a minute that'll be coming up in a few weeks. Dan's got one coming down the pike. We're all really, I mean, we like all your stuff. Trek 365 is awesome, but I'm with you that the TMNT one is so fantastic.
The best Teenage Mutant Ninja
Turtles. I'm also doing a little bit on Formula One and Australian Rules Football too. So there's a bit of everything there. Each of them are really short. Yeah. Which is part of the novelty of it, I think.
Well, and that's, I think, part of the fun, because obviously we sit here and jabber on forever and ever, much longer than we usually intend to. But your podcast is a short form podcast, 365 seconds, but released frequently, tons of fun, awesome content, and it's not going to take up too much of your time to listen. You are going to be entertained. So everyone, check out Trek 365.
Oh.
Isaac, thank you so much for joining us.
Yep.
We look forward to having you back again sometime soon. And
thank you.
Discussing, I mean, last time we discussed the Royale.
Thank you, sir.
Which you don't like. I kind of like it, but it's a bad episode. We watched.
Thank you, Miss Annie.
A Fistful of Data. I'm kind of curious. Don't tell us now. I'm kind of curious what the next episode might be.
Right.
So something to look forward to for the audience out there. Otherwise, remember Rules of Acquisition next week. Feedback at It's Got Star Trek. It's Got StarTrek.com, YouTube, Facebook.
We did the Robin Hood one.
Et cetera, et cetera. No, we haven't done the Robin Hood one.
We haven't done
that one. Q-Pid. We haven't done that.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Dan, any last bits, or are we good?
I think we're good.
All right, so I'm going to say goodbye, and then Dan will play a sound clip. Goodbye!
Do not show your face in this town again. Computer, end program.
Computer, end program.
Computer, end program. End program.
Vamoose, you little varmint.
I find it extremely difficult to predict what you will find acceptable. Perhaps hunger will compel you to try it again.
Thanks, Isaac.